Today's daf is daf Yud. We're starting from the very top of Yud Omid Aleph in Mesechtes Ksubis, where the Gemara begins Itmar. We're starting on a new Inyan, but at the same time it's a continuation of the Inyan we've been learning for the last 2 days. What have we been learning for the last 2 days? The legendary Sugya of Pesach Pesuach Matzasi. What says Pesach Pesuach Matzasi? What happens if a chasen comes into Beis Din Thursday morning? They had chasana, like it said in our Mishnah, on Wednesday. The next morning, the husband is very upset. And he says, Beis Din, I lived with my wife last night for the first time. And Pesach Pesuach Matzasi, I found that it was open. In other words, she was not a psula. She was Rachmon Lislan, she was a ba'ula. And as we learned yesterday in the Gemara, the two major halachic ramifications. Number one, lesser oisa al atzmai. By the fact that he says that she lived with someone, Pesach Pesuach, then as far as he's concerned, she's a zoina, he's not allowed to go and live with her. Because the Torah says that even an Yisrael is not allowed to live with an Ashes Ish that was Mizana. Now, of course, we learned in the Gemara yesterday, how do I know for sure that she was an Ashes Ish? Maybe she was Mizana before the Erisin, before a year ago. And the Gemara says it's talking about two Hechatimtas. Either it's talking about an Ashes Yisrael, it's talking about an Ashes Koyin. And therefore, by Ashes Koyin, it makes a difference whether it was a violation, it was Ba'oinis, or it was Beratzoin. Nevertheless, she happens to be Yosser. The only shaila is whether it was Tachtav or Eina Tachtav. It's only one suffix, not a Tzvek. That was one pshat. The second pshat was, we're talking about even an Ashes Yisrael that became an Arusa before she became 3 years old. So it's impossible that the Pesach Pesuach is from before Erisin, because we have a klal in the Gemara that a girl less than 3 years old, psuleha choizrin, means that the psulim can go and reinstate themselves, can become healthy again, back to new blood and new basar, etc. So therefore there's only one tzafik. The tzafik was ba'ainis baratzain, it's a tzafik is asr. Anyway, that was the shitty yesterday of Rebbe Lozar, as well as of Yehuda Omar Shmuel. Where they had a machloikis is the gabi a second halachic ramification. And that is the gabi the din of ksubas isha. Are they neman to go and take away the ksuba from the wife or not? Said Rebbe Lozar, no. He is neman the gabi himself, because of the svara of shavya anafshe chaticha disura. If a person wants to go make isurim on himself, gizintayit. And that's what he did, even though he's not to Adam, but for himself. He's like to Adam. It's like, what did Pincha say yesterday? Hoizdoas baldin kimei Adam dami. It's not mamish. Toas baldin is really more of a choish and mishpat concept. But there's a parallel here, that when a person takes upon himself or herself an isur, it's an isur. So therefore, awesome. Question is, can he go and spoil her ksuba? Says her blows, no. He has no right to, you know, he has no proof that she was a bu'ula. He's saying, I don't know. So therefore he cannot spoil it. Rav Yehuda Meshmul says, no, he's even neman lahafsida ksuvasa. What was the svara of Rav Yehuda Meshmul? So he quoted the Rashi yesterday, and Rashi's quoting from the Gemara today, because ein adam toireyach b'seuda umafsida. It's not like today, where the Edison and Nisun are back to back, and therefore the Chos and Kalim may not know each other that well. And then that night, the first night, is a terrible fight, and he says, forget about it, I'm out of here. We're talking about a Chos and Kalim that have been married already for close to a year, sometimes even longer than a year. So they know each other fairly well. And if he wasn't interested, or if he had any doubts, he didn't have to go and spend hundreds or thousands or tens of thousands of dollars to go make this elaborate sudas nisuin. He could have said, you know, I thought about it, finished, give her a get and goodbye. Masha Enkin over here, he went and spent tons of money to make agans a gala suda. The next morning, he comes into Bezin and says, Pesach Pesuach. So the Bezin says to themselves, it cannot be because she insulted him or because he's angry at her. For that, he wouldn't have made such a ganzi elaborate party. It must be that Taka, when he says Pesach Pesuach, it's Taka Emes. It's Taka Emes. And if it's Taka Emes, then we go and take away from her ksum. That was the svara of Rabbi Yehuda Omar Shmuel. Now we're going to bring Rav Nachman Omar Shmuel, and we're going to say Taka Shmuel Lishitosai. but it's all to a new sugya, because now for the first time in Masechtas Ksubas, the Gemara tells us a little bit about the character or the scope of a ksuba. First time we had it. It's Itma Omer Rav Nachman Omer Shmuel, the same Shmuel, not Rav Yehuda Mishmuel, Rav Nachman Omer Shmuel. Mishum Rav Shimon Elazar, Chachamim Tiknu Lehem Lebnois Yisrael Lebsulam Mosayim Ulal Mona Mona. So notice the Gemara says Chacham Tiknu Lehem, a speciale takonis Chacham. As we'll see in the Gemara shortly, this is a big, big machloikis whether Ksuba is Midiraisa or Ksuba is Midrabonan. But we see clearly from Shmuel, B'Shem, Reb Shimon Elazar, that Chacham Mesakin, the din of Ksuba. How much were the Mesakin? 200 by Ipsula, and Almona, they were Mesakin a Mona. Where does the 200 and the 100 come from? We'll see shortly. The Heim Aminu, at the same time, it's like Heim Amru V'Heim Amru, the same Chacham that were Mesakin, the din of 200 and 100, they were also Mesakin. Shem Omar, if the husband says, Pesach, Pesuch Matzasi, is Neman. What means Neman? Lahafsid Ksuvasa, to take her Ksuba away. So, Frank Gemara, if that's the case, in Kin Ma'ilu Chacham B'Takanasim, since the whole reason for the why were the Chacham and Misakin a din of Ksuba? If it's Minotaur, it's Minotaur. But since Reb Shimon Elazar is saying that it's Midrabanan, why were they Misakin Ksuba? The reason is, Shloi Tehei Kala, that a husband shouldn't 1, 2, 3 nilly willy go and say, you know what, I'm sick and tired of her, she burned the soup too many times. It's very hard to burn soup. You can burn chulent, you can burn kugel, they go and burn soup too many times, forget about it, I give her a get. Fine, you can give a get, no problem. By the way, that's going to cost you $500,000. $500,000? Yeah, that's what it says in your ksuba. Let her burn the soup a few more times, I'll buy soup from Meal Mart. So in other words, we don't want to allow for easy 1, 2, 3 divorces. We want there should be as much marital stability as possible. And therefore they gave a major, major financial incentive for families to stay together, that the husband will have to give her a ksuba. And this ksuba was, we'll see shortly what the amount was, big time. And therefore the husband will have a major disincentive to divorce his wife. But Freiti Mariet, if every husband can say Pesach Besuch Matzasi, and then he gets free from having to give the Ksuba, so what did the Chacham accomplish with their Takana? Now, I don't really understand fully the Gemara's Kasha, because how many times do you have a Chosin saying Pesach Besuch? This is a very remote possibility, right? Presumably, less than 1% of all Chasanim come to Bezin the next morning and say, you know what, Pesach Besuch. And then he can be Masik Suvasa. But in the other 99% of the times, Baruch Hashem, the Chasana continues, and there is no Taina Pesach Pasur. Even if he gets angry at her a year later or 5 years later, it's already too late to say Pesach Pasur. You gotta say Pesach Pasur the next morning. He can't remember a month later. Oh, by the way, Chacham, I forgot to tell you. The night that we got together was Pesach Pasuch. No, if you want to have such a time, you got to talk about it immediately. That's why we have. It's on Wednesday and Thursday. Exactly right. So that being the case, so Ha'ilu Chacham B'Takanosim, in the 99% of the cases. Anyway, but bottom line, that's what Gemara asks. L'choyr, at least in this 1% case, what have the Chacham accomplished by instituting this din of 200 or 100? What's going to happen is, he's going to be able to go and say, Pesach Basuach. Omer Rav, Rav said, no, I'll explain to you why. Because Chazaka ain Odom Terech Basudim Mafsida, like we already said before, we have a special Chazaka, even though there are no Edim over here, but just like throughout Hilchos Edus, sometimes even if you don't have Edim, we will go Basar Roiv, and we go Basar Chazaka. Here the Chazaka is, Ein Odin Terech, Basuna Mafsida. We all understand this is human seichel, human logic. Nobody goes and wastes thousands of dollars on a major Seuda, and then the next morning say, you know, I changed my mind, I have Charata. The fact that he went to Bezin and said Pesach Basuach, you can be pretty sure that this is true and this is not a fib. Because if he, in fact...
It's a waste of money.
Exactly. Why would it waste it? It could have, the day before, it could have given a get and finished. Good. Anyway, that's the end of the shtickel of Shmuel. Now we bring a braisa, tana, hoil, uknas chachamim hu, loisig ve'elem en ziburius. Because this is a knas, you only collect from ziburius. So what do we mean? We'll talk about a knas in a moment. What do we mean by ziburius? Ziburius means that when we come to Mi'at Hashem to Baba Kama, Baba Tzir, Baba Basra, we'll see that there are three types of fields. There's an Idias, there's a Beinonis, and there's a Ziburius. Nowadays we don't think so much in terms of fields, but think in terms of real estate. You could have properties, Zechvayis, on Park Avenue, on Madison Avenue, Fifth Avenue. Presumably those are good properties, and those are Idias. You can go and sell them almost at a moment's notice. Oh, sure, for $50 million. And then you have Beinonis, regular properties. And then you have Ziburius, Zechvayis, something out, maybe in the Catskills or something, a property where there's been a sign now, which has gotten rusty after 50 years, property for sale, and nobody's put up a bid, you know, for the last 50 years. So that's Ziburius. So now the question is, anytime a person has to make a payment, and he's not paying cash, he's paying in real estate, how does he have to pay? So this week's Sedra, we're going to see in Mi'at Hashem, it says that if a person made a damage, a hezik, for instance, kiaver ish sodoi cherem, v'shilach is bi'iroi, ubir b'steyacher, meitav sodeyu umeitav karmo yishalem. Which means a person who was mazik, he damaged somebody else's property, and he's paying in real estate, he has to pay meitav, that means from the idiots, from the best. On the other hand, if he took a halvoa, he borrowed money from someone, and he doesn't have money to pay back, and he's paying back in real estate, he can pay back beinit. When it comes to ksubas isha, you can pay back even ziburius, even in the shvachst properties. In all cases, you're giving the same amount. So what's the difference? The difference is whether it's oivel asoicher. If you're going and selling idias, you can have 1,000 people online at an auction wanting to buy it. Beinonis, it won't be 1,000 people, it'll be 20 people. Ziburius, it might not be anybody online. If you wait long enough, somebody will eventually buy it. So it's the same amount of money, it's just a question of how much oivel asoicher. Like you have by Avram Avinu, by Ephraim, Arba Mei Shekel Kesef, oivel asoicher. How quickly can you go and dispose of the property? So the Gemara tells us this, that since the din of Ksubas Isha is not the Oraisa, it's only Knas Chachomim, therefore you can give in the lowest form of currency. It doesn't have to be Idias or Beinus, even Ziburius. But what's bothering the Gemara is, why is it called Knas? Knas means it's a penalty. Is this some sort of marriage penalty? In the tax laws, is a marriage penalty. But what does this have to do with getting married? As a knas? My knasa. So, Jamal, you're right. I didn't mean the word knas. What I really meant to say is, since it's a takonas chacham, it's not min ha-toyra, it's mid-rabbanan. So, therefore, my word knas was inappropriate. What I really meant is takonas chacham. Okay. Now, that's the Tanakhama of this price. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Ksubas Isha Minatoyro. That it's in fact Minatoyro. Where is it Minatoyro? We'll see in the Gemara in a moment the Pasuk in the Torah. So it's a machloikis, whether it's Midrabanan or Minatoyro. We're going to see that even according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, it's not 1,000% Minatoyro, it's only kind of mostly Minatoyro. But we'll see that in another moment. Zot Yimara, Omiyam Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Hachi. Did Rabbi Shimon Gamliel say that it's Minatoyro? Vatanya, I have a price which directly focuses on this issue, whether it's Minatoyr or Midraban. And first we start over the Tanakama, and then we're going to come to Rav Shimon Gamliel. Vosak the Tanakama, Vatanya, Kesav Yishkol Kemoir Apsulois, Shehezeh Kemoir Apsulois, Omoir Apsulois Kazeh. What is this all about? In this week's Sedra, there's a din of Mefata. Mefata means that a man seduces a young lady, a Nara Psula, to go and live with him. What does it say in the Torah? That if he does such a terrible thing, he's Mafata, an Isha Psula, Nara Psula, then he has to go and pay Kesef Yishkoil Kemoyer Hapsulais. He has to go and pay Kesef. That doesn't say how much Kesef, it just says Kesef Yishkoil Kemoyer Hapsulais. Now, imagine we come to Parshas Kiseitze, towards the end of Devarim. They were going to have a parallel parsha, not about a mafata, but by a ma'anes, a person, chas v'shalom, who violates a nara psula. There it says that he has to go and pay chamishim kosef. He has to go and pay 50 kesef, v'lo yisi al-isha, li'ichol shalcho kol yomav. So here you have Rebbe Rafael, you have the shenst in the best, most mechubadika place for you.
I don't sit so close to the fire.
We can push the heater in the other direction. Anyway, so we have a posik there in Parshas Kiseitze. You have to go and pay for Nosan Lavi Hanara Chamishim Kosef Tachas Sashina there's a din over there of Chamishim Kosev. Now, there it says in Parshas Kiseitze the amount. It says Chamishim. It doesn't say the currency. In our Parsha, Parshas Mishpatim, we're going to learn in Mishpatim and Shabbos, it says Kesev Yishkoil, which is the Lashon of Shkolim. It says the Lashon of the currency, but it doesn't say the amount. And therefore we learn one from the other. From Rashi it's mashmah that it's a hekish. Rashi later on it's mashmah that it's a gzeirah shav. Because here it says kesef, kesef yishkol. And there it says chamishim kosef. So I learn kesef, kesef, one from the other. So what do I learn? Over here it says kesef yishkol. It's got to be shkolim. Over there it says chamishim kosef. It says 50. So I learn the 50 from there to here. That's got to be 50 shkolim. And I learn the shkolim from here to there. That's got to be 50 shkolim. Because so kedai to chamishim says Rashi. Kesef yishkol. Maybe you only have to pay 10. Maybe you have to pay 100. So I learn 50. But there it says chamishim kosef. Kosef means silver denominations, silver
coins.
Coins. So coins could be silver pennies, silver nickels, silver dimes, silver quarters, silver dollars, I don't know what. So therefore it says, Kesef Yishkoil, Lashon Shkolim, it's got to be larger madbeis. Of course, in the good old days, they didn't have pennies and nickels and dimes, but they had what we call mo'a, or dinrim, and we had shkolim. So therefore, it could have been, for instance, says Rashi, maybe 50 mo'a. How much is a mo'a? A mo'a is a 24th of a shekel. Everybody knows the famous mnemonic of the Doivev Ches. What means Doivev Ches? That you have the different currencies in what the Gemara brings from time to time. You start off, Shkolim is the largest. In every shekel you have Doivev, you have Dalid, you have four Dinrim. Then from dinner, in every dinner you have six Ma'a. That's Dalid Vav, six Ma'a. And then every Ma'a you have two Pinjoinim. That's Doivev, that's the base. And every Pundin you have two Isrim. So you start off with four dinrim, six ma'a, two punjainim, and then two isrim, and then doiviv ches, and every isr you have eight prutais. That's why Rashi brings sometimes in Chumash, echen mishmoine be isr italki, that the pruta is 1/8 of an isr. Anyway, the point is, until you get to the pruta, all the others are madbeis of kesef. The shekel is kesef, and the dinner is kesef, the ma'a, the punjain, and the isr. The Isser is 1/24 or 1/48. Let's, how much is it? Let's see, it's 1/48. Because every single dinner is a quarter. And then you have the Mo'a is already 1/24, because it's 1/6 of a quarter, 1/24. And then you get to the Punjoin is 1/48. And then you get to the Isser is 1/96. This is 1/96 of a... So the point is that Lule, the Zeir Shav that we're learning from Kesef Yishkoil to Chamishim Kosef, I wouldn't know Chamishim what. It could be Chamishim Itzrim, or Chamishim Punjoinim, Chamishim Ma. That's what it's got to be, Shkol. Okay, that's fascinating. Zog to Yomara. But what does it have to do with us? What has to do with us, it says, Kimoyer Habsulais. Sheheze Kimoyer Habsulais, and Moyer Habsulais Gezer. This Moyer Habsulais, and Moyer Habsulais, Sheheze Kimoyer Habsulais, says Rashi, that I learned the din of Pitoi Mefate from Ma'anes, or Moyer Habsulais Gezer, and I learned the din of Ma'anes from the din of Mefate. That's what Rashi says. But mikan samcha chacham the ksubas isha min ha-toyre. But here we found the makor for ksubas isha min ha-toyre. Now, where does it say anything about ksuba? Aren't we talking about being ma'anis and mafata? What does it have to do with ksuba? But the word moihar means ksuba. How do I know? Where'd you take this from? So remember back in Bereishis, what does it say in the pasuk? That when Hamor, the son of Shechem, violated Dina, so Shechem and Hamor had a powwow with all the Achidina, and they said, you know what? Harbu alai, moi har umaton. Go and give us the most exorbitant amount, and we'll pay for it. Oh, it says moihar. What means moihar? Moihar means dowry. So here too it's saying, the reason why one has to pay, b'ma'anis ma'fata, that's similar to paying a dowry for what this person did, either the maise pitoi or the maise poinis. So that's Kimoy.
Is that because he's sort of rendering her not of it, you know, like damaged, so therefore she shouldn't lose out on what...
Very good, very good. Otherwise she would normally, as a psula, receive for ksuba. Now you're denying her ksuba,
right,
of the ksula's psula. So she'll be able to go and get the ksula ramana. Very good.
So the original place that we learned that there's even such a thing that a woman gets moihar is from Shechem?
I'm just giving you the definition of the word moihar. Here it says that gotta be the 50 that you have to go and pay by pitui And by ma'anis, it says kesef yishkol kimoyer habsulis. So what means kimoyer habsulis? Where's the word moyer come from? So the definition of moyer means dowry. Where else do we find the Torah that the word moyer? By Shechem and by Hamar. So now you know the definition of moyer. But what do we learn from now, from this word, from kesef yishkol kimoyer habsulis? That all psulis are supposed to receive a moyer. What is the amount of that moyer? It doesn't say in the Torah. It just says about the amount of the pitoy and ma'anis, but it doesn't say how much is the amount for ksuba. That's what the Gemara says. Mikan samchu chacham leksuvas ishim anatayim. So, what you're touching on is the Meforshim ask the Tanakhama over here apparently says we're learning it minatayim. Minatayim. Samchu chacham minatayim. But the question is, what's the samchu chacham? Samchu sounds like an asmachta. So, make up your mind. Is this an asmachta midrabon? Is it minatayim? So, the mitzvah eis in the back of the Gemara, together with other Meforshim, say that it's really a combination. And that is that there is a chi of ksuba is minatoyra. Kimoyer habsulis. Gotta give ksuba. What's the amount of the ksuba? That doesn't say that you learn midrabban. Rabbanan took the chi of and then they embellished it by saying, give 200 and give 100. There's a famous word from the Baal Rikeach. Baal Rikeach is not a heintige. We're talking about hundreds of years ago. That he says, the derech remez, that the word kimoyer in the Torah is written without a vav. And therefore, you can read it as two words. Kama, how much is the dowry? Resh. Kimoyer, kama, resh. How much do you pay?
200.
200. Sorry?
200.
200, exactly, resh. It's a nice word, right?
Yeah.
Good. He thinks of, you know, a contemporary Hasidish that comes up. This is trying hundreds of years ago from the Rikeh. Anyway, kimoyer, absolut. Besides that, going one step further, since it says in the Torah, Chamishim Kosef, that in itself is machloikus rishonim, what denomination of kesef. Yes, it says chamishim shkolim. However, we still have to know that's chamishim shkolim legabe pitoy and legabe ma'anis. What legabe the din of a psula that you have to give a ksuba of masayim? So that's a machloikus rambam and other rishonim. What kesef do you use? Kesef tzuri or kesef medina? The difference between kesef tzuri and kesef medina, kesef tzuri was pure silver. Kesef medina was only 1/8 of the matbeah was made out of silver, the other 7/8 was made out of copper. Similar to Amuliga quarters and stuff. Today I think all the quarters are all made out of, totally out of copper. They smear it nicely with such a, looks like silver, but it's really copper. Years ago, of course, it was silver. So what they're saying is, the kesef tzuri is like a pure silver, and the kesef medina was an alloy of silver together with copper, and it was 1/8 as much. If you hold that it was taka kesef tzuri, full 200, that means it was 200 dinrim. Since there are 4 dinrim in a shekel, then taka, when it says in the Torah, chamishim shekel, that kesef yishkol kamar apsulai, then it's mamish taka, the din of the ksubim in the Torah. Because the kesef yishkol is talking about 50 shekelim. And every shekel has in it 4 dinrim. 50 times 4 is 200, and that's the 200 of the ksuba that we were speaking about. But that's only according to the mandiyam of those kesef tzuri. If it's kesef medina, then the cheshbon doesn't shtim. But anyway, so bottom line is the Tanakhama says it's min atoyer. Reb Shimon Gamliel aimer ksuvas isha ena midivrei Torah al midivrei safrim. It's only midivrei safrim. It's only the rabbanon. So it's very, very strong. Reb Shimon Gamliel says it's not min atoyer. Yet the same Reb Shimon Gamliel 5 lines earlier said that it's min atoyer. It's make up your mind, Reb Shimon Gamliel. Is it min atoyer? Is it midrabbanon? So you want epach. We have to switch around this brisa which we just learned and have Reb Shimon Gamliel be the Tanakhama, and he's the one that holds min atoyer and not midrabban, and then it will stim with a previous brisa. Frank tomorrow, my chaz de apkes bas brisa, epach kamaisa. Who says that the second brisa is the one that was reported inaccurately? Maybe the second brisa is correct, and it's the first brisa that has a problem. And switch the first brisa around and have Shimon Galil hold that ksuvas isha is midrabbanon and not minatoyra. And for the mura. Yovei hakosuv hashlishi ve'achri b'neim. Hashemina leiter. Reb Shimon Gamliel diyamak suvas isha medir raisa. Because I find another Reb Shimon Gamliel where he says clearly minatay. We say clearly minatay. Did not. Reb Shimon Gamliel oimer. Leis lamemoyis kaput kaya. Now what is this all about? This is a mishnah later on the end of our mesechta. What happens if you have a couple that originally got married in Eretz Yisrael and he gave her a ksuba in Eretz Yisrael? But then the couple moved to Kaput Kaya. Now both in Eretz Yisrael and in Kaput Kaya, they use the same currency in the same denominations. Lomazung, they both use dollars. But it's not like today that you have American dollars and you have Australian dollars and you have Canadian dollars. Same shkolim, both in Eretz Yisrael and Kapet Kaya. There was only one difference. The difference was in the weight. Here you had in Kapet Kaya heavy shkolim, while in Eretz Yisrael they had shkolim light. They had light shkolim. In other words, that the Eretz Yisrael dik shkolim had less silver content or less weight than the ones in Kapet Kaya. Okay, so now the Chosin writes to the Kal, I'm going to give you 200 shkolim. And at that time they lived in Eretz Yisrael, but then the rest of their lives they moved to Kapet Kaya. They've been in Kapet Kaya for the last 50 years. And unfortunately now the husband dies, or he gives a get. So what type of shkolim does he have to give? Does he have to give Kapet Kaya dik shkolim? Or does he have to give Eretz Yisrael dik shkolim? So there's a machloikis. Machloikis whether you give Eretz Yisrael dik matbeis, or you give Kapet Kaya dik matbeis. Who is the one that holds Kapet Kaya? Reb Shimon Gamliel. Why? Because Reb Shimon Gamliel holds it, it's a chiyav midyaraisa. Midyaraisa, you gotta be machmir, you gotta give the big shkolim. Mashenki, the Rabbanan hold that it's only the Rabbanan. If you're gonna give the smaller shkolim, not really the smaller, but the lighter shkolim.
You have to give the bigger ones midyaraisa, because the Pasuk says, in this week's question about,
according to Reb Shimon Gamliel, we learned from Kimoy Absolites that there's a chiyav ksuba minatoyra. Since it's a chiv ksuba minatoyra, I'm not sure whether it's the Kapet Kaya dikka or the Eretz Yisrael dikka. Then you have to give the more chumra dikka, which in Kapet Kaya. The feud on an aleph in the middle of the aleph.
Even mid the rice, why do you say where do we learn that the Torah says it has to be such a chumra dikka value? Is that from this week's probably said make of Eretz value?
That says the gabe damages. Here we're talking about ksuba zisha. Ksuba zisha, according to everybody, is ziburis. But the point is, according to Shem Gamliel, since it's a deraisa dikachiyav, if I have a shaila, what do I have to pay? Do I have to pay the light shkolim of Eretz Yisrael or the heavy shkolim of Kapet Kaya? Since I don't know, it's a deraisa, I have to be machmir. The chum say, no. Since it's rabbanon, I can be mekel. What am I going to be mekel? You can give the light shkolim, you don't have to give the heavy shkolim. So it's a right, Reb Shimon Gamliel holds this minatoyra. So therefore, if I had to go and drei arum Reb Shimon Gamliel and say, go and apach, which one am I going to be mahapach? I'm going to be mahapach the second brisa, in which Reb Shimon Gamliel said, ksuvas isha is mid divrei sofrim, and say, no, that's not Reb Shimon Gamliel. The Reb Shimon Gamliel holds that it's minatoyra, not the rabbanon.
So we mentioned before about the different levels of Indias,
Indias, Bainis, and Ziburias, yeah. So
that's only with Dabi Karka. Even according to Reb Shimon Gamliel over here, that it would still be you would still pay with the ziburis.
We know for sure. It says according to Maniyam that holds it, Takanos Chachamim leTigva min haZiburis. Reb Shimon Gamliel doesn't address this issue, so I don't know what Reb Shimon Gamliel would hold. Could be he taka hold it if it's min haTayra, you have to pay min idius and min haBeinus. It doesn't say beFeirish. So I taka don't know. Maybe it'll be another Gemara. We'll see what Reb Shimon Gamliel says.
But I'm sorry for belaboring this point. But
no, you're doing very well. Continue on.
The fact that we pay from idius and bainus in the other situation because it's there's a cost, not necessarily because just being machmas over here where it doesn't say finish and we say it's takanas chachamim and therefore it's from the ziburis.
Right.
But according to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, not necessarily would it be. Even it's midaraisa, not necessarily would it be from idiots.
It could be. That's right. Could be the minatoyra. Just like minatoyra, the alvois, you have to go and pay the bainis. Could be they would hold that minatoyra you pay with ziburias. Could that could be?
It's just that it's not discussed of what he holds. In
exactly.
Gemara.
And our gemara is not discussed. So we'll have to match him and wait till another gemara. We'll have to look in the mafarshim.
It's only if you don't have cash. You have the cash, you pay the cash.
Cash is king.
Right.
Otherwise,
you have to grab. You're grabbing properties.
Yeah. Good.
She put on the skirpos.
Exactly. Vibo Yiseima Kulib Shim Gamlielhi. This final brisa which we brought is not a machloikis, it's really one brisa of one Reb Shim Gamliel. And you have to do some small surgery. Start the brisa again. So the brisa, it says in Pasuk Kesa Yishkol Kamar Absulois Mikan Samcha Chachamim Leksuvas Yishemana Torah. And this is Reb Shim Gamliel speaking. And we continue on. That's by Ipsula. What about Ksubas Almana? That everybody agrees that Ksubas Almana of 100 is not in the Torah. That's Midibri Safra, Midrabban. Shimon Gamliel Oimer, Reb Shimon Gamliel Oimer, Ksuvas Almana Einem Medivrei Toira, Elam Medivrei Sofrim. So it's all one long Daisa, or Reb Shimon Gamliel speaking, and he holds Taka that it's Minatoira, Minatoira, Minatoira. Aye, the Braisa quote Reb Shimon Gamliel that it's only Drabon, that's by Almana, not by Psuva. With this, we have concluded the discussion about the various Mandiyamim, Minatoyim, Midrabanim. We're going to go back now to Pesach Pesuach. And from here, until the Mishnah on the Omid Beis, the Gemara is going to bring perhaps 10 or 12 stories about a Chosin that said Pesach Pesuach, and how the Batei Dinim dealt in each case with this time. Some of these stories are quite interesting. Talk to you about who the Asa Lekabed Rav Nachman. Someone came in front of Rav Nachman. Amalei Pesach Pesuach Matzasi. Last night I got married, and Pesach Pesuach. Amalei Rav Nachman, Asvu Kufri, go and take Kufri. Rashi says Kufri are similar to Lulavim. More specifically, they're probably similar to, if you've ever been to Eretz Yisrael, Sukkot time, you'll see a lot of the Schach on many of the Sukkot are not what we would call a classical Lulav, but a Lulav that stayed on the tree for a longer period of time until it started spreading. Then it develops a certain amount of thorns at the end. Not really thorns, but it comes very prickly. And they use that on the top of their schach, on top of their sukkahs. So he said, take such schach type of things, such lulavim, and give pech to this chosin. Why? Mavarchata chavitale. What does this mean? Rashi said, mavarchata is the name of a place. And chavitale, apparently, all the zoinois, all the prostitutes that live in mavarchata, are lying down in front of him. What does that mean? So Rashi says, this is a bachur. He'd get married for the first time. How does he know Pesach Pesuach? It could be Taka learned Alam Aforshim on the Sugya Pesach Pesuach. He knows it cold mit Al Raj, mit Al Ritvis, and Al Rambabs. But how does he know the physicality of the Pesach Pesuach? Muzdach Zayin et Chas Visholim, he lives with all of the Zoinois of Mivrachata, and therefore give him pech for being such a, not a Zonah, but for being a Zoneh. For being a person that goes and lives with him. And a shy gets. Go and give him pech. And let's look quickly at the Rashi. That's how Rashi learns it. Asvu Kufri. It's basically parallel to our Gemara. Asvu Kufri. Hilkuhu Malkiois Mamaklois Charoyus Shaldekel. Give him pech with such branches of the Dekel tree. Sheish ben Uktsin. At the end they have such like thorns. Not really thorns, but they're prickly at the end. Kimin Koitsin. Kidamrim Besukkah. Ve'ema Kufra Dark. Ve'ema Kufra. Tuchedachinoim. Good. Mivachata chavitale zoinois ira zoyis shmoch mivachata. Mivachata was the name of a town, a name of a city. The zoinois of that town chavutois v'shoichvois tamed lefanav. They're apparently they're all lying down in front of him. Lisnus miachashu baki pesach pesuch. He's saying as ich ben azab baki pesach pesuch. It looks like he's engaged in these activities already previously. That's the way Rashi looks.
Why
Rashi just being a raya what the term kufra means. The Gemara says that maybe Kufra is by a lulav. That instead of using the lulav that we use, which is nicely closed, maybe it's this Kufra which is open. The Gemara says it cannot be, because Recher Darchinoim, meaning that the average person, when he's holding that type of Kufra, by the time he's finished doing the Hishanis back and forth, his hand will be bleeding in eight places because of the prickliness of the lulav. Even today, even a regular lulav, you got to be careful, because if you touch it at the wrong spot, right, you can get a nice thorn, not really a thorn, but it gets very prickly, very pointy at the end. So it's much, much worse once they start hardening on the tree. If you leave the lulav on a tree and you don't take it down, it becomes nice and hard, and becomes even harder on the skin. So the Gemara says, maybe when it says in the Pasuk doesn't say the word lulav. It says, kapois tamarim. Kapois tamarim, the branches from the tamar tree. Maybe we mean taka those large branches. The problem is, if you touch them, you get cuts in your hands. Therefore, the Gemara says over there, it cannot be kufra, because the Torah says, Recher Darchinoim. So this has nothing to do with our Gemara. Rashi is just trying to bring a raya to the term kufri. What's the definition of the word kufri? It means these charoy shodek. Anyway, the reason why you gotta give the guy pech is because obviously he's been engaged in znus, otherwise how could he say Pesach Pesuach? The Baram Toisis learns similarly but differently. The Baram Toisis says it's Velosh and Bitnia. How does this guy know about Pesach Pesuach? V'chi, are you telling me that he's living with all of the Zoinis in Mevachasa? Ah, so therefore, he's not a Baki in Pesach Pesuach. And therefore he's just being Moiti Shemra Albasi Yisrael. Therefore give him pech for being Moitzi Shemra. That's the bottom place. Okay. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara, this is what Rav Nachman paskened. Now, this is Zeh Shver, this Rav Nachman, because if you go back to the top line that we started off today's Gemara, Itmar Omer Rav Nachman, Omer Shmuel, that if a person says Pesel Basul Matzos, he's Neman, he's believed. Not only is he believed to Aser himself, to Shavi Anafsha Chaticha Disura, but even to go and spoil the Ksuva. The same Rav Nachman just said, now give him patch. Make up your mind, Rav Nachman. Do we believe him? Don't we believe him? It's a choyra stira, freyti mara, Rav Nachman udiyama mehemon. Everybody said a stira. Mehemon, must be no kofri. Yes, we taka believe him. Why? Because since Sitaka learned like Rashi said, with the alazoinis in the city, Sitaka knows his stuff. He's taka nehemon. But at the same time, you give him patch for living with the alazoinis. And that's pshat.
And according to Tosfos, pshat.
When it's Tosfos pshat, you have to look at the rest of the Tosfos. But the Tosfos saying is that Mehemon, I believe him what he said. However, I give him kufri for going and making such statements, because after all, how does he know for certain? He doesn't. Even Morris said yesterday, Kimlay doesn't know 100%, he knows 90%. So based on his thinking and his thoughts, he already goes and wants to spoil the name of this wonderful Bas Yisrael. Give him Petra. Well, the Maisin man. Anyway, I'm betoys. Rav Achoy Mishaner, Rav Achoy gives a much easier teretz. Kam b'bocher, kam b'nosa, you depend. If this is the first time he got married, and the first time he lived together with a woman, and he says Pesach Basuach, how do you know Pesach Basuach or not? You're not a maivin, you're not an experienced boyel, you're the first time in your life. Give him a patch. However, if you're talking about a person who was previously Nosu, he already was married, therefore he knows what B is all about, and now he says about her that she happens to be Pesach Basuach Matzasi, oh, in such a case, he's Avad Neman, because he has experience, he knows, and he can be mafsid her.
He can't be mafsid.
I'm sorry, once again?
So then a young Bacher.
According to this Teretz,
can't be
mafsid. According to this Teretz, exactly right. New story. Ha'ud Yasla Kamidram Gamliel. Omalei Pesach Basuach Matzasi. Omalei Shem Hitisa. Maybe, by accident, you were able to be mata. And if you remember, we learned in Gemara a few days ago that Roiv Bekiyim Bahatoya, that people knew how to be mata. Mata means to go and make a bia without breaking through the psulim by going at an angle on the top, on the bottom, on the sides, whatever. So, Meshem Itisa, maybe that's the reason why he didn't find Pesach Pesuach. I'll give you a mashal. The Adam Shei Mahalach Be'ishan Laila, Va'afela. The person is walking in the darkness of the night. And he finally comes to his house, and there are no lights. Hita matzah pesuach. If he's able to go and enter the house by opening the door at an angle, he's able to get in. Lo hita, but if he goes straight against the door without taking an angle, matzah no, he can't manage. He can't kind of jimmy it and open up the door. So it depends on how you approach it. From an angle or straight ahead. From an angle, you can get the door somehow ajar. You can open it up. However, if you go straight ahead, it's locked. So he says the same thing is, that this person is, Bishas Bia, is a ba'afel of a choshech. He doesn't know really what's going on. Maybe by accident, you thought you went straight, but you really went from an angle, and that's why it's Pesach Pesuach. Ikedi Amri, another version, similar but different, Hochi Amalei, not that it was Bishoygi Hitisa, that you didn't realize what you were doing, B'shema B'mezid Hitisa, V'yakart L'dasha V'yavra. Now, although the Gemara uses the term Hitisa, it doesn't really mean a learn Lashon Mata. The way Rashi learns is that maybe he went in with such force, did such a job, that he removed the door and its hinges from the door. In other words, Pesach Basur means, I broke through the door. Imagine a guy who's strong, he breaks through this door and makes it into two pieces. No, this person did it with such koyach, with such vigor, that he was able to go and rip the door off its hinges, and therefore, it wasn't a question of tearing the flesh of the psulim. He removed the flesh from the side by going and doing with such force that the word dasha means the doorway, and the avra is like the hinges, and he would just rip the whole door from the hinges, from the whole mezuzah.
So there's no blood because you came from a family
of dortiki, like we had him more yesterday. Rashi, he's very good. If he goes in, then he can tuck and get through the door. Your son Shulam Moshe was here at the first minyan, Reb Shimon. Your son was here at the first minyan. Okay. Lo hita, however, to amaze it. If he didn't go with force, matzin also, and then it's stuck a lock. Okay, new case.
And therefore, according to this shot,
he's saying the fact that you say Pesach Basur Nishkaraya.
And so you don't lose the ksuba. You lose the ksuba, you don't lose the ksuba.
You cannot be mafsid her the ksuba, because when he said Pesach Basur, he may have either purposely or unintentionally caused this to occur.
So this argues on the earlier one.
Each case, we're going to have different rabbanim address the issue in different ways, as we'll see. Each one. Remember, it was a machloikis in the previous gemara. Yesterday we had Rabbi Lozer said he's only nem on the shavi anafshe chadir hasura, but not lapsik suvasa. It was Rabbi Yehuda Meshmul and Rabbi Nachman Meshmul that said you can mafik suvah. And we continue on another case. The gemara Udi also the kamei Rabbi Gamliel bad Rebbe. Amalei Rebbe be'alvul matosi dam. So now it's not a tiny pesa pasuch, but he didn't see dam. Amraloi Rebbe. Amraloi Rebbe Epsula Yisi. The woman says, no, I was Epsula, and the fact there was dam. So Amalehem Avili Oysa Suda. Bring the Suda, bring the Mappa. Let's see what happened on the cloth. Avili Suda, they brought the Suda, and the Suda was white. There were no tipois dam. Sidram Gamliya Barabi, Vishar Bamaim. Let's go and soak it in water, Vachipsa, and add some detergent. And guess what happens? Matzalav Kamina Dam. Now they found Kamatiba Dam, that there were, in fact, some blood spots on it. Where was the blood before? Was white before? So look at the last Rashi. The chibsoi show you tipe ha'domim mechusim b'shichva zera. The shichva zera from the man went and covered over the tipe's dam, therefore looked all white. But now that we did the kvisa, the white fell off. Oh, we see the tipe's dam. Omaloi, so now Rabbi Gamliel bar Rebbe said to the chusin, lech zachei b'mekcha, Baruch Hashem, you have a wonderful wife. She was a psula. Take her home and zagisit. Whenever we have such a case, maybe we should do the same thing. Go and take the mappa and wash it. Malaysi said, no, that only works in Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't work in Babel. Why? Because meaning that our kibbutz, our laundry, is inferior to the laundry of Eretz Yisrael. And when we do our laundry, it doesn't do such a good job. I guess the detergents were not so good. Rashi talks about samanim were not yofim. Samanim yofim means stronger detergents or weaker detergents. And so therefore, we don't have such good detergent. It won't do the trick. Only our giyutz. What's the giyutz? Rashi says that they used to go and rub it against Evan Aschuchis. Now, all of you guys are youngsters. But in the good old days before that, can you imagine there was a time in Klal Yisrael, so there weren't washing machines. And how did they go and wash the clothing? They had such a vash breitel. Vash breitel means a long board, which they used to, most of the time, the middle of the board was made out of a gloss. And you used to go and rub the clothing up and down until the stains came out. So he's saying, the only way to do a proper kibbutz here, that it should be on the same madreg as the kibbutz in Eretz Yisrael, if you do a gihutz, you know what I mean? They're rubbing on the vash breitel. So he says, so let's talk and do the gihud, and this therefore we should be able to go and prove whether the map had tipois dam or not. The problem is that when you're going to rub it up and down, it's going to do such a good job of removing the stain, it's going to remove the blood stains as well. So after you finish the gihud, you don't see anything. So this is not a good eitzah lemaisa in buff. But we have another story. I didn't find dam. Not only at that time was I psula, I'm still a psula now as we speak. I'm still a psula. I wasn't a b'ula chasushon. So how come she was still a psula? It must be that he was mata. He went from the other direction. Or maybe he wasn't goimer the bia. Or maybe he went the wrong direction. Whatever it was, I'm still a psula. So Rabbi Gamliel Barabi said, I have a test. This is the famous wine test. What's the famous wine test? Go and bring two shivchis, two slaves, women slaves. Achas psula v'achas b'ula. One that I know for sure is a psula, one is a b'ula. Heviel, the taka brought him. And have them go and sit on top of a barrel of wine. After a while, b'ula reicha noidev, psula ein reicha noidev. After that, we smelled her breath. Not now, half an hour later, to see whether you could smell the wine. By the ba'ula, since down below it was open, it was a Pesach Pasuach, then the reich of the wine from the wine barrel went upwards, and then afterwards you can go and smell it on the breath of the ba'ula. Since the ba'ula, it was closed down below, then ain reich anoid, if you couldn't smell anything. Now that we finished this test case, avzu yeshiva, now they took this married woman, they had her also sit down, and the taka was no reich coming out, is the chassimah that she was taka psula down below? Oh, she's a psula. Amaloi leich zachei v'mekcha. Go and take your wife. Gizuntai kaitzahai. So this is a wonderful story. Why didn't he immediately go and say, let's do the wine test? Why did he have to bring in the two maidservants, the two shvachos? Because Rabbi Gamliel Barevi, who made this test, he had heard about this. In other words, his Rebbe taught him and his grandfather taught him that this is also an acceptable test. However, he had never done it lemaisa. And he was concerned. I'm going to try it out, and maybe I don't really know how to do the test so well. In other words, I'm not experienced. I never did this before. It's my first time. I want to make sure that I know how to work it out. If I'm going to have her sit down for the first time without testing this out before, and then afterwards I'm going to make a mistake, it'll be time I come to Zilzul and Menoyes Yisrael. Therefore, that's why, and that's also the reason why I took Shvachos as opposed to Jewish girls, because if it has to be a Zilzul over here for this test case, you want to ruin their reputation. You just want to go and be Mezalzul rather with Shvachos rather than dealing with Menoyes Yisrael. Okay. Next, Jacob. How does the come to Gamliel Hazaket? Amrloi Rabbi ba'altiv lematzosi dam, no dam. Amrloi Rabbi, you know why? Mishpachas Durkati ani. I'm from the famous Durkati family that Rashi brought already at yesterday's Gemara. She'ein lemloi dam nidav loi dam psulim. Unfortunately, we have very, very little blood. No dam nidav, no dam psulim. Not that she didn't have dam at all. A person can't live without blood. But we have such a small amount that if and when they have the first beer, there's no dam psulim. Very rarely do we have nida. She has a period once every 12 years. Yeah, it's very, very rare type of thing. Aha. Okay, and that's the reason why I didn't see that. So now, is this true or not? Did you ever hear a story like this? It says, Barik Rav Gamliel Mekarviseh, Rav Gamliel Detaka Agam's investigation among Yena Dorkati Mishpacha, Umatzik Edebrani, he found this Taka Emes, that all of the ladies in the Dorkati family, they all had the same type of medical situation. Amaloy, Leich Zechim Mecha, go and take your wife, and you should know, Ashrecha, you're so lucky. She's a chisel mishpachas durkati, that you were zoicha to have such a mishpacha. We'll see in the Gemara in a moment why he is so lucky. We'll see in a moment. But before we get to that, frankly, more my durkati, where does the word durkati come from? Dor ketua. What means dor ketua? So the parsha of dor ketua means that this family, the word dor doesn't mean generation, but it means the family. This family is ketua, is cut off from the rest of the world, in the sense of the rest of the world, all women do have dam nida and dam psulim. They don't have, so they're kind of katua, they are amputated from the rest of the world, that they are exceptions to the normal rule. But the deeper pshat is, like the Gemara is going to say shortly, is that unfortunately it could be that this family was also one generational, meaning that there probably wasn't that much continuation of future generations, because unfortunately they had no dam. And, as we'll see in the Gemara shortly, you need menstrual blood to be able to produce children. And it's just every period when the blood didn't, the egg of the woman didn't get fertilized by the man's zera, then it becomes taka blood, and then it's ejected by the body. But you need that blood to produce new daughters. So therefore, the dor ketua means that this dor, nebuchas ogehakt, will be amputated from future daughters. There won't be future daughters of this family, because the women don't have blood. Anyway, Zokimar Amr Bchanina, Tanchumin Shal Hevel Nichmay Ram Gamliel Oise Ish. When Ram Gamliel said to him, Ashrecha Shizachisa, this was Tanchumay Hevel. Why? The Tanir Abchia, Kishem Shas, or Yofli Isa, Kachdom Yofli Isha. Just like when you're baking a cake or you're baking a challah, Sa'or, sourdough, is good for the dough so that it should rise. Kachdom Yofli Isha, it's good for a woman that she should have dam. In other words, that she should be able to produce children. If she has a lot of dam, then she has good chances of having quintuplets. Baruch Hashem, she has a lot of blood, she'll have a lot of kids. Me'etz Hashem. So therefore, that what he said, Ashrecha, so Nishkaz Ashrecha, Tanchu Mehevel. And the Gemara basically repeats this. Itmar Rav Yirmi Bar Abba Omar, Zachei B'mekcha Omalei. Rav Yirmi Bar Abba, when he repeated the story, said that Ram Gamliel Hazokin said to the Chosin, to the husband that said that she has no blood. Sachem mekha omalei, you have a schus, you're lucky, ashrecha. Rabbi Yosi bar Avin omar nischaiv mekha omalei. He said, unfortunately, you have a chayiv. In other words, Yitaka married, and she's a psula, she's a Dorkati family, but Nebuch, you have a chayiv over here. Zikno bishlam, I understand why it's in nischaiv mekha. He meant to say that, unfortunately, it's going to be very hard for you to have children because your wife has so little blood. It's a durkati, a durkatua, and who knows? And therefore, in this chayv, it's not going to be an easy life for you. You're going to have to say a lot of tehillim and run to all the doctors and to all the rebbes to have kids. And that's in this chayv. But according to the other girsa, zechay mekcha ma'is chusa. What's the gamtas chus? It's talking about terrible that she doesn't have blood. It's more likely also the day suffering. Neither you won't have suffering. Neither problems. Because the Gemara says in other places, what happens when a person comes back from a trip? He hasn't been with his wife for a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks. One of the first things he'd like to do is, you know, show chiba to his wife. He'd like to be intimate with his wife. But he won't be able to, because she's a... So why does he suffer, Nida? Because if it happens to be a vada Nida, what can I do? I have nothing I can do about it. But suffering Nida, yeah, maybe we can make, maybe it's only the rabbanan, maybe it goes after him, and therefore the Yetzirah is going to go and pound on him, and it's only a suffering. You only get a suffering car, it's a 50-50 chance. I haven't heard anybody recently getting car, so probably it doesn't apply. He'll find some sort of heter. So therefore, Zachai, you have Ashrecha, that you don't have these problems, because she won't be a Safi. Right. Yes, Rabbi Simcha.
The joke by Zizha Poskin.
Yes, as was.
So once Zizha Poskin got a ticket going through red light. So I went to the court, I said, what do you mean? He said, sir, he says, it's a Safi, but not really red. Safi, red, could be, yeah.
I see.
So gave him a suffer
triplet.
Zayigit. How would you ask for coming to Rabbi? Amalei Rabbi, but ultimately it's Tosi Dam. There was no Dam. Amalei Rabbi, Adayim Psula Yisi. I was a Psula. Now, why didn't he see Dam? I'll tell you, it was very, very tragic circumstances. Shnei Betzeres Habe. There was famine in the land, and as a result, unfortunately, I haven't been eating and drinking normally now for months and for years, and therefore I have very little blood, and I have very little, I'm almost a skeleton, I have nothing in me, and therefore that's why I don't see Dam. So Rebbe looked at both the chosin and kalin, so the faces were both black, black from being famished and from being subject to this terrible drought and famine. So tzibah lein. So what did Rebbe do? As we know, Rebbe and Antoninus were grois ashirim, like poskim al shulchanam loy chazeres and something loy bimei ados loy bitznoim bchazeres loy meigsham loy bimei ha akayitz, and therefore they were always very wealthy. So Rebbe said tzibah lein v'chnisam lemerchitz, and he said, you know what? Send both of these guys to the merchitz to go and clean themselves off. And then he gave them a wonderful, beautiful suda. And he gave them to drink. And then he said, after them, okay, now go to sleep for the night. And then Taka they had a beila. He comes back the next morning. In other words, Rebbe was 100% right. It was only because of the famine. Kari Rebbe Aleim. Rebbe said about them the following pasuk. A pasuk in Eicha. Tzafad oirim al atzmam yovish hoyik eitz. So Rashi has two pshatim on this tzafad. Rashi, interestingly, as he rarely does in Shas, but as he does often in Chumash, brings Donash and Menachem. As you know, Rashi in Chumash, from time to time, when you come across a difficult word, Rashi says Menachem in his Machpere says X, and Donash says something else. These were two of the famous Meforshei Torah, as well as they were Grois of Bali Diktuk. So Rashi, right before the Mishnah, says Tzofet Oyram Doinash Pirish Kemoy Dovak Oyram Al Atzmam. In other words, that because they were so famished, they had absolutely no fat, but rather they were just skin and bones, and therefore the skin attached itself to the bone, and there was no flesh and no fat in between. The word tzofad means that it got so black, like Yemar said before. So both pshatim are basically the same, that unfortunately because of the terrible famine and drought, they were totally famished, and they hadn't eaten for a long, long time. And like the pasuk ends, they were as thin and as dry, nebuch, like a piece of wood. Okay. So the Mishnah Baita. Now this Mishnah should be very familiar because we learned about this in the Omer Aleph. Psula Ksuvasa Masayim. A Psula Ksuva is 200. Almona is Mona. And remember we said in the Omer Aleph, Psula is a Machloikis. Is it Dirais or Dirabanon? But everybody agrees Almona, Mona is only Midraban. Aha. Okay. Now the Mishnah says, Psula, who is an Almona, a Grusha, or a Chalutza, Mina Erisin, Ksuvasa Masayim. We normally think of a psula as a girl that was never married, and that's why she's a psula. But technically, you could have a girl that was married, and she's still a psula. Now, nowadays, it's virtually impossible, because we have Eirusin and Nisuin back to back. But in the good old days, when they used to have Eirusin and Nisuin over a year period of time, so she could have been an Arusa, full-fledged married lady, but she never had bia with her husband. And then, either the husband died, so she became a psul almana, or the husband gave her a get, she's a psula who's a grusha, or because of the fact that her husband died and the yavim didn't want to do yibam, she was chalutza, but she's still an erisin, she was never a beula, she's still a psula. So now if she remarries subsequently, ksubasan masayim, in other words, it has nothing to do with marital status, it has to do with a physicality. Is she still a psula, she's still a virgin, she gets 200. If she's a beula, she only gets 100.
So she'll collect 400. Yeah. She's the first husband, she can get 200 and say she's a...
Eirusin, typically there wasn't ksuba. Most places there were only Masaka ksuba, only by Nisuin. The Gemara says that if you wanted to, you could take upon yourself a ksuba Eirusin too, but typically that was not the custom. They only did it in Nisuin. So she wouldn't get from the first marriage, because from the first marriage there was no ksuba. But now when she remarries, she can still demand the price of 200 because she's still a psula.
But then we have a Yavamos where she died from the Eirusin. We talk about who got the ksuba, whether he is a...
I'm sorry, again?
I thought when he dies from Erison, so the question was whether there was ksuba from the first husband and the brother. Maybe I'm mistaken. I thought
you're absolutely right, but it's not talking about Erison, it's talking about Nisod. No, or it's talking about a rare case where, in fact, he took upon himself mina eris and exu. But under normal circumstances, that was not the minhag. But just like she says, I'm a psula, I can demand 200. The husband, on the other hand, can come in the next morning, on Thursday morning, and say, lemetzas levitcha psula. He can do a tiny psula. Okay. Zoki mar. My almana. What's the definition of the word almana? We're going to have now Rav Chuna Bagatoa a few times in our Gemara today. And Rashi said Rav Chuna Bagatoa means that he came from Baghdad. However, Rashi in other places said Bagatoa means that he was a Baal Haggadah. He was very good in talking about Agadata. So this Rav Chuna Bagatoa said the word Almana means Al Shem Mana. That since that Almana receives 100 every time for a ksuba, so the word almana, aleph and ayin, like a mischalif, it's almana, when she gets married, she gets on based on a mana. Now, where does it say the word almana? It says the word almana in the Torah. It says the gabe, emer al kahar ben ehar, and the nefesh tam b'yamav, and then it says about a koyin godol, almana ugrusha, chalala zoynes, el lo yikach, kim psul miyamik. So it says in the Torah the word almana. What does that almana mean? It means, al shei mana, that almana can only command $100, 100 dinarim, 100 zuz, for her ksuba. Almana ben eirusin, ma'ikul meim, what are you going to say about almana ben eirusin? Almana ben eirusin, we just said in the Mishnah, gets 200. So she's not an almana, she should be called almasai. Avadi, you're right. Literally, almana means only 100. If you have an almana min erisin, which is kind of an exceptional type of case, so loiplug, we call her an almana too, even though really technically it's not the proper term. If you get 20, yeah.
Find alman, a widow.
Yeah.
How does that work out? Like
alman. Okay, so the emesim, the meforshim, I think, is the Rashi, the Ritva says that the real word alman almana has nothing to do with the amount that you get for ksuba. Yeah.
I'm saying this sounds like one. It doesn't sound like
some. He's a balagoda. Rav Chuna is a balagoda. But the point is, your follow up question is, here we're talking about the posik and the almana, they give 100 is only midrabanan. The Gemara is going to ask that question in a moment. But getting back to Mendy's question, so the Rishonim say that really the word almana, almana comes from the word ilem. Ilem means to be mute. That unfortunately, a widow, a widower, who is all by himself or herself at home, they have nobody to talk to, they can only talk to the walls. So Nebuchadnezzar, they're mute, they have nobody to converse with. One of the major benefits, if you will, of being married is that you have a person to go and share your day's activities, what your future ideas, what's your schedule for tomorrow, what did you do, who did you speak to, blah, 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 blah. You have someone to talk to. Talk to Torah, you can go and talk about whatever you talk about. But unfortunately, and Alman Alman is never by themselves, therefore the Elam, they're constantly speechless, they have no one to talk to. No problem. But if the Gemara is going to Rav Chuna ben Gadatoa, I'll be remez that the word Almana also means this reference to the 100 by the Ksuba. The Gemara said that doesn't stim by Almana in every sense. So the Gemara, Enoch and Ami, loy pluk. But frankly, Almana, the Ksiba, the Raisa, my Ekalamema. That's if you're talking about the word Almana today. But the Almana that says in the Torah by Yakoyin Godel, he's not allowed to marry an Almana, since everybody agrees that the Takana of Ksuba by Almana is only Dirabonon. So how does the Torah call an Almana, Almana, Al Shema Takana Dirabonon that only took place 2,000 years later? is Ma'ikul Mehavet. Gemara Dasin Rabbanan the Mesakni Lamana. The Torah is basing the term Almana on future events that are going to happen with the Rabban. They're going to be Mesakin Mana. Because of Krol Asid, does the Pasuk ever do something like that? Gemara, yeah. Tichsim is in the Pasuk. Shema Nor Hashlishi Chidekel Hu Ha'olach Kidmas Ashur. So this is talking about the beginning of Bereishis, that Kadosh Baruch Hu created the four Naharos, and the third one is Chidekel, and it's going Kidmas Ashur. Now where's Ashur? Ashur was only born many, many, many years later. He didn't live in the times of Adam Rishon. And the Omer, the Torah of Yosef, Ashur Zuslika. Ashur was the Slika family, the Slika country, the Slika nation. That's called Ashur. Pray tomorrow, Umihava. Was there any Slika at the time of Adam Rishon? I didn't hear that Adam Rishon had a son by the name of Slika, or even an Enikul. El Dasido, El Dasido, you mean in the future. That's the Kidmas Asher, that's the Slika. Achanami Dasido here too, when the Torah says Almana, the Torah knows already that the Chacham are going to be Mesakin, the Inyan of the Mana for Exuba, and therefore they already put it in at that time. Okay. Now we have again Rav Chanan bar Gvadato, and now he's not darshaning the word, but rather he's just defining the richness of the word mutter. Amr of Chana, the Amr of Chana Bagadato, the word mutter that we find in the Torah, we find it in Kriyashma, right? Betar Arz Chavita Yeramalkosh, Kach Baruch gives mutter. What is mutter? Mutter is mashke, marve, umezabel, umaadein, umamshich. Now Rashi quickly points out that not that this mutter is absurashitavis or gematria, he's just defining the richness of the taich of the word mutter. Mutter, number one, is mashke, that means that it waters the ground. Marva, that means that it satiates the ground, it nourishes the ground. Umezabel, it's like zevel in fertilizing the ground. Umaadein, it makes it not only pleasant, but Rashi says, noisen ziv beperis, it gives a certain color and luster to the peiris. You look at a peiri, and it has such a shine to it, that shine is the maadein. Umamshich, and it causes future generations of peiris to be born. And that's therefore the groyskite, the mala of mutter. Amarava Barab Shmuel, the same Rav Yirmiyahu bar Shalmiya, my crop. I bring a taka raya from a posik that mutter has all of these qualities. Tlomeha Ravi Nachas Kidutea, Bervidim to Mogigena, Tzimcha Tevarech. Tlomeha means the ridges, the ditches that you have in the field. Ravi Nachas Kidutea, Bervidim to Mogigena, Tzimcha Tevarech. Now, what do all these words mean? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi is about five lines before the wide lines in the Gemara. Ravi Nachas Gidudea Kasher Bevivim Timo Yigena. Ravi Hari Mashke. The word Ravi Nachas means that it's Mashke that gives water. Marvi Timo Yigena Hari Mizabel. Mizabel is from Lashon of fertilizing. Ma'aden, and Ma'aden Umamshech is a Peiris. Navke mi Tzimcha Tevarech. Tzimcha Tevarech means that the Tzemach will be blessed. So number Tzemach, it's going to be Matzmiach. Matzmiach Yeshuais, it's going to flourish and grow. So that's the mamshich, and the fact that it's tevorach without bracha, it's a lashon of ma'adein, that it has that beautiful color and shine to it. So therefore, from that pasuk, you see that the water, the rain, has all of these beautiful qualities. Om Reb Luza. Now we go away from Reb Chunin Begadator for a moment. Reb Luza says, you know what the definition of the word mizbeach is? Mizbeach that we have in the Beis Hamikdash. It's maziach umazin mechavev mechaper. Maziach means that it dispels, it pushes away the sins. Says Rashi, maziach avoidus, it pushes away. Umazin from Loshen mozoin, in the schus of the kabonois, ha'oilam nizoin, people get the bracha of parnosa and food from the mizbeach. Mechavev, says Rashi, Mechavet Ves Yisrael El Avim Sheba Shemayim. Through bringing Kabonis, it brings a Chiba between the Kodesh Baruch, Kavi Yochan, and Chai Yisrael. And Mechaper, it's Mechaper on Averis. Feitimor, Haine Mechaper, Haine Meziach. We said Meziach means to push away Averis. Mechaper means to atone for Averis. So aren't we saying the same thing twice? She's more, no. Meziach Gzeiris. Not that we are pushing away Averis, we're pushing away Gzeiris. If Chas Hashem, there's a bad decree, either down below or upstairs in Shemayim, you bring Kabbalah to Hashem, that helps to dispel and to push away the bad decrees. When a person did not have, then it gives a kapara, it atones for that sin. The Amr of Chana Bagadato, oh, we get back to Rav Chana Bagadato again. Tamri, what says Tamri? Tamri, of course, are dates. Mishachnon, Misavon, Mishalshulon. Me'ashron v'loy mefankon. Tamarim have many, many wonderful, wonderful qualities to them. Mishachlan, says Rashi, means mechamamois. You eat the number of dates, and it gives warmth to the body. Misavon is from a lashon sevia. You become satiated. Mishalchlan, it's also good as a laxative. If a person's having trouble going to the piskissa, he takes some tamarim and it can do a good job. Me'ashron, says Rashi, machzikas koyach. It gives him strength. In other words, it has a lot of vitamins and minerals in it. It doesn't make the person finicky. What means it doesn't make the person finicky? There's certain types of foods. Once you develop a craving for that food, I have to have that food. I have to have sushi. I have to have Ichweiss, the AAA type of chocolate from Switzerland. I have to have that. It costs a lot of money, but once I have that desire, once I have that appetite for it, then, you know, I always want that. I go to the chassid, the first thing I want, can I find that Viennese crunch? I love the Viennese crunch. I have to, blah, 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 blah. You develop a big craving. But nobody develops, apparently, a craving for tomorrow. Tomorrow is like a wonderful, they're nourished, and they're very good. But in the fun, you don't become finicky. I have to have my date. But the Bukhrim want to have other types of dates. But this type of date, they don't become a finicky about. Okay. Zukti Moravai to Omer Rav. Ochal tomorrow al yoyre. When a person eats a lot of tomorrow, the al yoyre, you shouldn't go and pask in shilas. Why? Rashi says, because if you eat a lot of them, it can make you a shtickl shikr, a little bit disoriented. Doesn't mean mamish, you become totally drunk. What it means, you become a little disoriented, you eat so many, it can go and disorient the body. Meisvei. Tomorrow, shachas v'arvis yofois. If you eat tomorrow in the morning or in the evening, and Rashi says, davka, if you eat it after the meal, like as a kompot type of thing, yofois, that's excellent. B'mincha, if you eat it mincha time, rois. Rashi says the reason why it's rois is because it's talking about mincha time before you ate your midday meal. Eating them before a meal is not good. After the meal is fine. B'tzaraim, once you ate them after the middle meal of the day, usually in the good old days, like in Europe, that was the main meal. Ein kemoisan, that's the best. Why is that the best? We'll see in the Gemara shortly that when it comes to eating tomorrow, it's better eating them on a full stomach rather than on an empty stomach, just like they say by certain medicines. Why? Because if you eat them on an empty stomach and you take these tomorrow, you can become disoriented like shikha, like the Gemara said before. However, if you have other food which is traveling in the body, then it kind of gets diluted together with all of the other food, and then ein kemois, and then they're really wonderful, they do a great job.
So when it said earlier, shachris for Arvi, this is the explanation, shachris would be after the morning meal?
Exactly right. You see, look at the Rashi on the left-hand margin. Shachris v'arvis yof is a few lines higher. Shachris v'arvis yof is klolo d'milta li'acher achila, after you finish the meal, yofis. Shachris darkish shubani odam bepas shachris. First they eat pas shachris, they eat their cereal, they eat their sandwich, they eat their bread. Kiram v'makabel. Arvis also means v'acher achila. So in the morning after you eat your pas, then it's pastach to go and eat some tomorrow. And same thing arvis at night, after you finish the meal, you eat for kompot, you eat some tomorrow. But mincha rois is Rashi, because then shein koidem achila lachashinis etzaraim. You just got up from sleeping half an hour. Now, okay, let's go eat some tomorrow. No, don't eat tomorrow on an empty stomach. Wait until after tzaraim laachra seuda she'ach besave. Then ein kemoisav between the seoyes. That's the best time. Should always eat it after a meal and not before the meal.
Do they eat lunch in those days?
Apparently, yes. It says b'tzaraim. And the Gemara continues on umevatlois shloish advarim. And they were mevatel three things. Mevatel means that they tend to make life easier. In what? Machshav ra. If the person is depressed and he eats some dates, I attack a bad day in the office, but these dates I feel already a little bit better. It takes away his depression. V'choyim me'ayim, if he has some sort of intestinal problems, this is a good medicine. We said before it's a laxative, so therefore it kind of opens up the bowels and makes things move, and everything is much better. V'tachtonius is what we call hemorrhoids. It's good for hemorrhoids as well. Anyway, so we said before, don't eat, if a person ate tomorrow, lo yoyre, he shouldn't go and paskin shilas. But here from this brayse is mashma that the tomorrow are wonderful, they're great, so why shouldn't you eat tomorrow and paskin shilas? What's the problem? So tomorrow, me am reading loy malu, did I say they're not good? Ilu yamala, they're wonderful, tomorrow have all of these beautiful, beautiful traits, they're great. However, but if you eat them on an empty stomach or you eat a large quantity, so for a short period of time, it can get you into kind of this little bit of a disorientation. But long term, in other words, an hour, 2 hours later, it's great for the body, it nourishes, it's a mineral, it's a vitamin, this is givaldi. But short term, it could be tired. If you eat a bunch of them, you can become a shtickle intoxicated from eating the tamar. Just like by wine. If you drink even just a revius, a yain, a small quantity, don't paskin because you can get out a little bit. But everybody knows that wine is a good thing to have. Yain, you take nichnas yain, yotz aside, you take a lot of the yain, then the person becomes a pikeach, he can open up the mind, etc. Yain has a lot of good qualities. But at the same time, if you become a shikha, become shikha, yoyra. Like we said a moment ago, that it depends if you're eating the tamar before the meal or after the meal. If you're eating them before the meal, no good. Al yoyra, since that's the only thing that you have going through your body, you can become taka shtikol shikr. However, if you've already eaten, then the effects, the ill effects of the tamarim will be diluted from all of the other food and drink which are circulating in the body. Yom Rabbi, Omli M, my mother told me, we all know that when Abai says M, it doesn't mean his real mother, because his real mother passed away, Nebuch, in childbirth. But rather, we're talking about the Shtifmitta. Shtifmitta means the stepmother. His stepmother taught him that Tamri Mekami Nahama Ki Narga L'Dikula. If you have tamarim before you eat bread, it's like taking an axe against a dekel tree. You have this beautiful palm tree, and you take the hatchet against the tree. Toimish. The tree is going to fall once you hit it too many times. So it's not good tomorrow before the meal. Boston Hamad, at the end of the meal, after you have the Nahama, oh, ki avra ledasha. What means ki avra ledasha? Rashi's avra ledasha means it's like the briach of a delis. Delis means the door. The briach means the bar of the door that holds it in place so that it shouldn't go and swing back and forth. Like we have the tongue that you have nowadays that goes into the hole. So that in the good old days, he used to have as a briach, such a long bar that you, just like by the kroshim, it said in the Torah, briach atichoin, mavriach, min akotze lakotze. So the Abra Ladasha means just like the bar of the door is very good to hold the door in place. Eating tamarim after the meal, this is excellent, this is givaldic chodash. Okay, now from here until the Mishnah, the Gemara is going to tell us a number of Aramaic terms. What is their derivative? Where do those terms come from? So, Gemara Dasha Amarava Derech Sham. The word Dasha means door in Aramaic. It has its origins in the Torah in Lashon Kodesh. The word Dasha is like Rosh Hashanah, is Derech Sham. You go through the door, your path into the house is through the door. That's Derech Sham. The word Darga, which means a step. Amarava derech gag. If you wanted to get up to the roof and you didn't have an elevator escalator. No, I didn't mind the helicopter. So how'd you get up? You had to go up the steps. Oh, so that's called darga derech gag, to get to the roof. Puria means a bed. Amar papa sheparim v'roven aler, because a bed is used for piri v'rivia. I'm going to add one more. The Gemara from time to time uses the term islandess. Islandess means, of course, a woman that cannot have children. Why is she called an islandess? She's a duchronis. Because the word ayel means lashon zohar. And therefore, it's telling you that this woman is like a zohar. The word duchronis is zuchronis, like zohar. To lay older that she cannot have a child. So therefore, the word islandess comes from she is masculine in the sense that she cannot have children. Have a wonderful day.